couple of years ago, more like three actually, when Morningside set out on a quest for Stompin' Tom Connors. I really threw myself into that campaign, right up to pleading on the air for Stompin' Tom to return to the musical stage. As it happened, we found him, and the legendary Canadian musician did grant me an interview, which took place in a farmhouse whose location I had to keep secret. I was thinking of that as I prepared to meet some much younger musicians who'll be here this morning. They are the Real Statics. They're from suburban Toronto, and they play rock and roll. But they're also incredible Stompin' Tom fans, and right during the time that I was looking at for him from afar, they met him and sang some of his songs with him. Neat, eh? I look forward to meeting the Real Statics in Hour 1 and Hour 2, Looking for Work in Nova Scotia, and the writer I mentioned before the news, M.G. Vasanji. In Hour 3, The Legacy of Oil Spills. Coming right up, Kieran's Lewis and Camp. Members of the Real Statics, the band I mentioned before, they're going to join me in a few moments. First, here's some of their music. This is from their latest CD. The song is called Northern Wish. That's the Real Statics. That song is Northern Wish. The Real Statics join me now. Dave Bedini, Martin Tielli, Dave Clark, Tim Vesely. They're all here in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Canada.
Good morning.
Morning, Wally Slater. Is Wally listening?
Jeez, I wouldn't doubt if Wally's listening.
Sure.
Yeah, he's
striking up the carbine there. Got the AM radio on in the barn.
Probably.
You haven't met Wally, though.
No.
We feel, though, as though we've met Wally.
We feel like we know the man.
We feel very wallified.
Tell the Wally story so that at least one other person... Stop pointing at each other.
I'll start. Tim will carry it on.
Okay.
Where does it start? We went on our first Canadian tour in 1987. Driving across the country, leaving Winnipeg. Middle of the
in
night.
In whose dad's 88 Oldsmobile?
My dad's Delta 8819.
Right.
78 Oldsmobile.
Dog
brown. Beautiful car.
Which died later.
It's gone.
I'm going to tell the story. You're okay. Driving across in the tour.
Driving across 1 o'clock midnight. We get to Verdun, Manitoba. It's just on the Saskatchewan-Manitoba border. There's only one place open in this very small town. It's the Alexandria Hotel. And we figure we wanted a few special pops for the drive into Manitoba. So we go into the bar. Actually, I didn't go into the bar. These three guys go into the bar. And there are all these local beers lined up behind the bartender. And we got the bartender to recommend to us a local beer. We said, what's that beer White Seal like?
Mm-hmm.
And the bartender said, must be good. Wally Slater's been drinking it for 25 years. So we thought that was, you know, good enough for Wally Slater. It's good enough for us, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we got 12 and continued our tour. We were
not opening them while you were driving.
No, of course not. Save them for after the next gig. Yes. And, okay, so we came back to Toronto after finishing our tour. A couple of months later, actually, we were going back out to Winnipeg on the train, 35-hour train trip, myself, Martin, and Tim. And we met a guy who had come from the Maritimes, where he was learning to fish and be a yachtsman. And we asked him where he was from. We met him in the bar car, and he said he was from Verdun, Manitoba. And we said, Verdun, Manitoba. You don't know Wally Slater, do you? Wally Slater, he's my neighbor. And he started telling us about Wally. You want to pick it up from here, Timmy?
I know.
Well, because Tim got... Okay, well, eventually, anyways, this guy
Why
goes...
Why can't Tim pick it up from here?
Ah, Timmy.
I never read Dave's article.
This guy goes back to Verdun.
Yeah.
Tells Wally that he met these fine young lads who just for some reason knew him. Wally, and so actually, this guy we met, his name was Bill Haskett, sends Tim a card, a Christmas card, saying, you know, me and Wally and the boys sat around and had a few White Seals in your honor.
Yes.
I ended up writing an article for a magazine, and the editor of that magazine called Wally, got him to send a picture, and you have the article in front of him, a picture of Wally in there, and
I
think we made the Verdun like Times and Packet too or something.
I don't think it's called the Times and Packet.
What would it be?
That's Orillia, Ontario.
Oh.
I don't know Verdun, but we'll find out.
Verdun University.
I guarantee. Which is why, of course, the new record's called Melville.
Hmm. It's called Melville for many reasons, David.
The other day.
Well, we did meet some strange man. Very, very strange and wonderful. And
symbolic of all the strange and wonderful people we
yes.
met on our travail.
We met the Funky Lou Melville going on a Via Rail protest trip for when Mr. Muldoon wanted to close down the line in November of 89, I believe it was. And this kind of sprightly man came and said, hi, how you doing? I really like your music. Hi, how you doing? What's up? Well, I'm Lewis. And that's how we met Lewis. And his last name being Melville, we never forgot it. Right. And we played with them piles after that. And then that's kind of like something you just lodge in the back of your mind. Okay, Lewis. And then many months later, when we were trying to decide our record title, we were deliberating over a case of White Zeal. No, over a case of
Jolt Cola.
Of Jolt Cola, yes. Fizzy lifting drinks. And we thought, what are we going to call it? And we had a million and one titles, and I don't
Martin
know.
Martin was hard at work trying to find
Marty had a Marty had a list of about 40,000.
It's torture.
And for the name of the album.
Yeah, just went through countless names.
And then Tim, I think, blurted out.
Well, actually, one of the top 10 final suggestions was Wally Slater. We thought we'd be using his picture on the front. And
the Wally Slater Memorial album.
Then we thought, maybe a little too obscure. So we thought, what about Lewis Melville? And then we just cut off the Lewis and thought Melville. All of a sudden, this world of possibilities opened up.
And then Crazy Lou ends up playing on the record.
And then Martin painted a fish for lying on a prairie for our album cover, and hence the Melville. You know, the fish is Melville. Moby Dick is Melville. Yes. There you go.
And Melville, Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And Melville, the new name for North York.
It's a good loyalist.
Here's a Toronto joke. Let me play another song, and I haven't mentioned Stompin' Tom yet. I got to find out about that. This song's in French. Who wrote this?
I did. Yeah. It's called Chanson Ruelle. It was originally called the French song until we met Brent Bambry on the Brave New Waves network, and he said he came up with that title, and we kept it. It means Song of the Alleyways.
And here it is. Here's the Rio Statics. That's the Rio Statics with their song about free trade, right, Tim?
Closely associated to that topic.
Tell me about the Stompin' Tom Connors pilgrimage, which paralleled, I think you heard me say this in the billboards this morning, sort of paralleled my own. And one of you guys wrote to me saying, are you, Dave?
Yeah, I wrote to you, but you never wrote back, Peter.
Well, I'm pretty good about that.
That's what I was told.
I am pretty good. And did you tell me where Stompin' Tom was?
No.
Well, then why would I write back?
Well, I don't know.
Because he didn't have any news for me.
Oh, but there was news. Sure.
Where did you guys find him?
Well, I'll be really brief, because I told the story in The Entertainers, and they told me to hurry it up. So, okay, I thought about it.
We're a three-hour program.
The story. There you go. Well, do we have 3 hours? No.
Yeah.
I went to Ireland in 1985. People asked me about Canada. I had to define Canada for them. The only way I could really define them quickly, briefly, was to play them Stompin' Tom's music. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really a fan until I went to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And upon returning to Canada, I asked people about Stompin' Tom. They told me that he hadn't been seen in like 8 years. He had dropped about out of the music business. He had been in self-imposed exile. I thought, neat. And they told me that, you know, nobody had seen him, so I thought, well, maybe I'll give it a shot. Hung around Boot Records incessantly for months, getting really neat old tour programs, lots of cool memorabilia, but
no
never,
Tom.
Yeah, no Tom. You know, Yuri Krytek, his manager, strange man. He would give me the cold shoulder lots of times, but there was an elderly receptionist at Boot Records who was very friendly, very kind. And one day I went in, it was a December day, and I said, it must be pretty slow time for the record business, you can't be very busy. She said, I've been going mad. She held up a letter for me that was addressed to Richard Hatfield, inviting him to help celebrate Stompin' Tom's 50th birthday party at so-and-so a place at so-and-so a time. Mm-hmm. I wrote down all the information, gave her a big kiss, a big hug, went back to my place, phoned up Tim, phoned up another friend.
And crashed the big 50.
Crashed the party. Went up to a small town near Guelph. You know, we went, beautiful old community hall, very tiny, place where like minor league hockey banquets would be held. Went up to the front steps, asked if we could see Stompin' Tom. Sure enough, like a ghost, he appeared in the doorway. And I said something feeble, like, I'm here to represent the youth of Canada. And he kind of looked at me like, and I had a little petition that had like 25 signatures, please come back, Tom, that we'd passed around at our gig or something. And he kind of put it in his back pocket, and he said, where'd you come from? We said, Toronto. And he said, you come all the way from Toronto, you might as well come in and have a few drinks. And it was beautiful. And before Tim and I knew it, we were being dragged across the dance floor by a couple of elderly locals. And it was a beautiful night. And so then I wrote this article about it and sent it to you. Because this was February of 86. So,
ahead of me, because we finally got him on here. I just looked it up this morning. It was December 88.
Yeah, part of the reason I was so sort of infatuated with finding him was because, I mean, Jesus Zowski put out the call, and he could find him.
So. No, you guys found him.
There you go.
That's right. What's the connection? Because you're not from, we're saying Toronto, but you're actually all from Etobicoke, right?
Correct, Alex.
You use that every interview. Alex, come on.
Okay, yeah, we are from Etobicoke, although Martin is from Reckesdale, which is part of Etobicoke, but it's in the nether regions.
A burrow within a burrow.
A donkey within a donkey.
Were you friends in high school? When did the band come together?
We all kind of came together. It was weird. Tim and I formed the first, first period, just the early years. Sorry.
Yeah.
Dave Clark came into the picture shortly thereafter, and then Martin came in the picture around 84, 85. And our original drummer was Graham Kirkland, and he stopped playing with us after, 3 years of Tim and I playing together. Dave came... Or whatever. Yeah, it wasn't very long.
And Dave, you went to Trinity in Ireland.
That was in 85. When I came back, that was when Martin joined the band.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we really started to...
So Martin, you're the spark plug, right?
Yeah. Oh, most definitely.
And did you break up for a while and then come back together?
For a year we broke up.
We took a rest.
Yeah. Josh sent us asunder, and then,
sure.
And we came back together again.
We'd been in each other's faces for an intense
It was a year doing
period.
We had, yeah, we three tours across Canada.
Mm-hmm. And recording.
And when you tour, you really tour. I mean, because, right? It's not...
It's not
the
just
big, the big arenas.
No, it's clubs and
not terribly
halls.
Comfortable places.
And sleeping on lots of floors and quite a lot of friendly people saving and paving the way for us. Thank
like in
God.
Regina, you should talk about the Reverend Duncan Wallace.
Well, the very Reverend Duncan Wallace, who we're eternally grateful for, who's never actually met us, was on.
We've never met him either.
Was on a holiday, but
I wonder if he knows Wallace.
But the very Reverend Andrew, who is his son. Seemed to be quite a wild man, and he was really young, really young. I don't know how he got into the bar, but he came up after the gig.
You're really helping this young guy.
and he said, hey, you guys need a place to stay?
And we went, yes.
And then he took us to this palace.
Beautiful.
Oh, man.
It's weird. Every place, city we go to, we sort of end up gravitating to these beautiful suburban homes. Not unlike our own. And it's great. We end up feeling totally comfortable.
This one was a particularly very good because they had many rooms
and dog
clippers.
That's right.
In which we groomed everybody's hair with, which was quite fun.
With dog clippers.
Dog shears, yeah. I found them in the basement when I was exercising.
Not dog shears.
Yeah, they were dog shears.
When you're on the road, you
Oh, really?
You can't.
Yeah.
Oh.
What? Where are you going? You're supposed to be, on my notes say you're on an Ontario tour right now, which means that you've hit downtown Toronto this morning, I think.
We just came sailing in.
From Kapuskasi. Where are you touring?
Ottawa.
From Ottawa.
Last night.
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Yeah, we were.
No, it wasn't.
No.
You shouldn't have been in Ottawa last night.
No, it was Ottawa on Sunday. We played Kingston on Thursday. And where we spouted satanic verses, so the manager of the club told our agent.
Where was that?
Yes. At a place called AJ's Hangar. We got a complaint. In any case.
Won't be back there.
No. And Friday we played in Guelph, home of Lewis Melville.
Yes.
Where are we? We're in Santa Gaff in the Laurentians Sunday, Monday. Then we go to Montreal and Burlington and Hamilton.
Terminal, yes.
All over the place. And then the rest of Canada in May. A big tour in May. Can't wait.
Back to Verdun?
Yeah. For sure.
You're not. When would we be there? Probably around the very end of May.
The fun part's going to be discovering all those other Wally Slaters who are waiting in the wings.
Therein lay the beauty of touring.
I hope so.
And who will win the Stanley Cup, in your view?
Boy, the Oilers look unbeatable.
Ah, for best Canadian band in history. Love the Oilers. Exquisite taste in hockey and everything.
Game of Our Lives is one of my favorites, too.
Oh, jeez, you guys can do nothing wrong here. Listen, thanks for this. We'll keep in touch. Maybe you should check in with us from time to time when you're on tour.
Hey, we'll call you.
Tell us people that you meet.
Call you from Wally's Kitchen.
That'd be good. In Verdun.
Yeah.
Or Melville. Dave Benini, Martin Tielli, Dave Clark, and Tim Vesely, they are the Rio Statics, and here's one more of their songs.